Coming up on show 1035, the VW ID Buzz, that's the van, is confirmed for 2022 in Europe, 23 in the USA. Stick around, I got all the details. Plus on the podcast today, the Taycan joins a subscription program, get into a Porsche a monthly fee. Tesla getting ready to go long-range rear-wheel drive Model Y. Yep, let me get that. We get that right. And Electrify America are powering the network of a new EV. But which one? You'll find out. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Sunday, 28th of March. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I am now fully jabbed up. First jab done are the AstraZeneca Oxford jab for me. Top of my right arm, because I'm left-handed, I write with my left hand. So she goes, I'll do your right arm, which was a mistake, of course, because I spend most of my time on a computer using a mouse. So my achy arm is my mouse arm. There you go. A little tip for you, for any other lefties that listen to this podcast. Unless you're doing a lot of writing, stick it in the left shoulder, and you've got your achy shoulder for a day or two. At least you can still use your computer mouse. Hey, I've got to welcome a brand new premium partner of the podcast, and it's a name that you are very well accustomed to, and that would be Jan at emobilitynorway.com. Now, Jan has been on this show, an interviewee, a guest, a contributor, a regular commenter as well, and recently upped his support from being a partner to a premium partner of the show and a sponsor of Question of the Week as well. So I invite you to take part in this week's question of the week. Get it in over the next few days, and I will read out your answers next Sunday. Stay tuned to the end of the show to hear this week's question of the week. And thank you to emobilitynorway.com, a new daily mention for them on the podcast. So, headline story, the Volkswagen ID Buzz. That is the very cool surf van. But I call it that, but it'll have more than just a surf van use. Will make its way to the US in 2023. The Europe market gets it in 2022, according to the head of the brand's commercial vehicles division. And it's the commercial vehicles division that's interesting, because the much-anticipated electric descendant of the microbus, the famous surf van, will have 300 horsepower, dual motors, long wheelbase, and be a really exciting van. Says Car and Driver, the Buzz will not be available as a work vehicle in the US, however, but it will be outfitted as an upscale people carrier. There could be three battery sizes. The entry-level model will have rear-wheel drive and 200 horsepower, but watch out for the all-wheel drive 300 horsepower version. And that's interesting, because that microbus can do many things. It could be a commercial vehicle, it could be a people carrier, it could be like a mini RV, and it's interesting that it's not going to be a global vehicle, so it'll be different in, you know, in different markets, and probably quite expensive as well, because, well, I mean, let's face it, all EVs are a little too expensive at the moment. But also, I just think there's going to be a premium for this car. That looks amazing. The interest in it is already off the charts, and I want to say well done VW for making this vehicle. It'll be easy for them to have made the concept and the prototype, and they showed it off a couple of years ago. Be easy for them to never get round to making it. VW is a company which is so big. You know, when we talk about these mega companies like VW and Toyota, they've got such strength in depth that for them to put some budget and some people on what is not going to be the biggest seller, but certainly a bit of a halo car in terms of image. And I just think it's a really smart thing to do. Usual disclaimer before people think I've got my VW posters on the wall. I was caught in Dieselgate. I'm not going to buy another one. They're not having my money again for a long time till they've re-earned my trust. But I think this is a smart thing that for them to do, is to make this ID Buzz, because it will sell more than a handful, but it won't be a volume vehicle for them. Get a few different styles, like I say. But more than anything, I think people will see it and be like, that's so cool, what is it? Oh, it's a VW ID Buzz, and that will help them sell ID3s, ID4s, ID5s, etc. Next, a very premium car, and that'll be the Porsche Taycan. And it's now available, if you fancy an electric sports car on a subscription rental program, you can have it for a week or a month. Loads of flexibility from Porsche Drive is the service. They've got 7 models on a month-by-month subscription service, expanding their territory as well into 5 new cities in Atlanta, Houston, Phoenix, California. And initially, the Taycan 4S and also the What else? There's two that they're putting up. The 4S is about $3,250 a month. Oh, it's just the Taycan base model, the rear-wheel drive. That's $2,500 a month, which they say subscription fees for the Taycan compare to leases at the same ratio as other models in the kind of Porsche Drive program. That seems like a lot of money to me, but equally, I've never exactly sat down and worked out the monthly lease price of a Taycan. So, hey, maybe you tell me how that compares. Over $3,000 a month to subscribe to a Taycan? Okay, it's not cheap, but, you know, Porsches aren't cheap. So, that's interesting. What do you think of things like that? I'm curious to know. I don't know whether Porsche owners want to own the car in their garage. No, more of a passion brand, isn't it? Whether they want to take care of speccing it and every... Because you know, the Porsche options list is almost infinite, right? There are no two Taycans that are the same because there are so many ways you can customize them. So that, to me, if you're spending 150 grand, is probably what you want. You're at that stage of your life / finances where you can do that. Otherwise, you would, I don't know, buy a Tesla Model S or something. It's the same as every other Model S on the road. So let me know. Would you subscribe to a Porsche? And that seems like a lot of money, but maybe, you know, I need to do my sums. Next, Scotland is in the news. What fuel are you putting in your EV? And do you care where that electricity comes from? Well, 9 years ago, Scotland set the energy target for a green energy goal to generate the equivalent of 100% of the country's electricity from renewables, and the target was 2020, and they only went and did it. Well, you know, almost, but we'll call it a win. Last year in 2020, they might have failed, but they almost hit it, and that's as good as a win to me. 97.4% of their gross electric consumption came from clean energy sources last year, says Engadget, and that's important for EV drivers when people say, oh, well, EVs are all well and good, but you've got to burn coal to power them. Well, any of my Scottish listeners, you can say, actually, the grid was 97.4% green last year. Gross electric consumption coming from clean energy sources. Scottish authorities are hoping that renewable energy sources can meet 50% of their energy demands. When I say energy, I mean electricity, heat and transport. That's by 2030, so it's a much bigger goal, actually. A lot of work to do to reach that goal when it comes to transportation and heating, but things like heat pumps can get you there for the home and work, and also, of course, you'd be surprised to hear on an EV podcast, electric vehicles. Go Scotland! Whoop whoop! Next, Tesla is getting ready to add a new model in the Model Y range, readying the Model Y rear-wheel drive long range. Always the car that I would have. I've said that before. It snows for about 3 days of the year where we are. It gets cold. It's always, there's 3 or 4 months of cold weather here, but actually proper get your snow boots on weather, we don't get it. Well, maybe, I'll say like maybe 5 or 6 days of the year on average, it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's a bit squiffy on the roads. Be careful when you're driving. Otherwise, I don't need all-wheel drive. It's nice for performance, but if you can save some money, save 4 or 5 grand and get more range, I'll have the single motor version, please. And now it looks like, according to the California Air Resources Board, Tesla are doing those plans exactly, according to the Driven website. A new document, which has been published, showing the Model Y saga continues after Elon Musk indicating that the long range would be added to the lineup, after saying the standard range doesn't go far enough. Now it looks like it could well be coming after arriving and then going. So, fingers crossed for those people who would like a long-range, rear-wheel drive Model Y. It would be my weapon of choice. Said it many, many, many times. Not that we've got the Model Y here. They won't make them in the proper way round, which is right-hand drive. It's not a car that we have. And there is no indication on the Tesla website. There's no way to order it. It just says Model Y. Nice picture of it. You can sign up to a mailing list. All very nice. No indication, doesn't even say, you know, coming May, June, July, whenever Berlin gets up and running. Will they make right-hand drive model-wise? That's the topic of another podcast. Next, Model 3 versus VW ID4 was mentioned yesterday. I was talking about the ID4 on the podcast yesterday, and my buddy Richard from R. Simon's RSEV made a really good video of the challenge of driving from Edinburgh to the South Coast in a Model 3 and a VW ID4, stopped at Ionity, Both were hot. Both had gone down to between like 1 and 6%. And it's still clear that Tesla is, even this was a two-year-old Model 3. Yeah, it was pre-heat pump. Still the efficiency kings, and maybe not the charge speed kings, though. You know, people, you know, I get Tesla fanboys on my Twitter go, oh, yes, but our cars charge at 250 kilowatts. They don't. Exceptional circumstances need to apply for that. And even when they hit it, they ramp down so quickly. But Tesla Model Y, still the efficiency king. I stand by that, but check out his video. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to watch what we were talking about only yesterday. Next, talking Volkswagen ID4. The first ones have been delivered in Germany. I thought they'd be there already with its home market. I just presumed it was weeks ago they got it. But no, the first customers in Germany got theirs 2 days ago on Friday. The ID4 vehicles handed over simultaneously in the delivery centres of Dresden and Wolfsburg. Thousands of other customers are due to follow now. They're going to make about 150k this year. About 150,000 ID4s will be made this year. That's globally. And it's just the start for that car. Having now driven it and spent some time in it, I'm just convinced it's a really solid package for those people who want a slightly bigger option. Don't want one of the South Korean cars. And I think VW have made a very solid car. There's nitpicky things like, oh, I wasn't keen on the brown on the seats or whatever. But actually, fundamentally, pretty good. And I'm surprised at how the first edition, which I drove yesterday, how many bits it's actually missing. So I went away and had a look at the first max spec, which we can't buy here. But there's a lot more stuff than came with the first edition. So I would wait on the ID4 and go, if we can get it in the UK and we get first max, I'd go, I think it's that, or first pro, I'd go that, because there was lots more stuff in there, like slightly bigger wheels, more electrics on the seats, the LED matrix headlights, all, and a ton of other stuff as well. I'm like, oh, well, that's the spec you want. Anyway, if you are buying an ID4 first edition, hope you're enjoying it. I really, really like it. For the dealerships as well, they are doing some Europe-wide training. In Germany alone, 10,000 dealership employees just in Germany are taking part in the training, learning about the ID4, but also related areas of electromobility. Jeep is partnering with EA to create the Jeep 4xe charging network. Terrible name. Stylized on paper as 4XE, but even so, they're installing Jeep-branded EV chargers near trailheads, and this allows owners to take full advantage of buying an electric, well, electrified, they say, Jeep SUV, the 4xe, I hate saying that. Charging stations are all open in Moab, Utah, Rubicon Trail as well, Big Bear, California, three of the most iconic off-road destinations and Jeep brand icons. They're putting in chargers. Not clear to me whether these chargers are available for everyone to use or whether it's just going to be somehow locked to Jeep. I'm not sure. Look into it. Jeep branded, at least. You know, it's three chargers, but it's a good start. Next, NIO have completed their 2 millionth battery swap. It was on the 24th of March. China's NIO completed 2 million battery swaps, and it was just slightly less than 10 months ago. They'd done 500,000. NIO power swap stations have powered 396 million kilometres of driving, says Green Car Congress. The most frequent power swap user has done 654 battery swaps in total. The most travelled power swap user has visited 67 stations nationwide. And as an integral part of NIO's battery as a service offering, in other words, you don't own the battery, you own the rest of the car, but not the battery. The dimensions are always the same in all their cars. And so as battery technology improves, you can swap out your 80 kilowatt hour and put in 110 kilowatt hour battery pack, all swappable and upgradable batteries. NIO say it serves as a time efficient solution for users who are in those high density areas who can't get to a charger, who want to do it quickly. It makes sense for people who haven't got charging at home or they can't charge their car if they do live in those very dense urban areas. And also allowing you to upgrade your battery and enjoy that progress of battery technology, knowing that the battery pack going in your car has been checked and is fully charged and was probably slow charged as well back at base. And so the deg is going to be, but it's not your battery. So who cares about the degradation? But even so, makes sense in many ways. I've got no use for battery swapping. by the way. It wouldn't fit into my life in any way whatsoever. I'm so fortunate that we moved and we've got a driveway now, but I can see how battery swapping is useful. Hey, question of the week time right now with eMobilityNorway.com. What incentive would make the most difference to you buying an EV? Had a big incentive change here in the UK recently. It got reduced from $3,000 to $2,500 off the car, but also the threshold was down to anything under £35,000, which cut out a load of cars. And it got me thinking, I'm going to ask you, what incentives make the biggest difference to you to buy an EV? Now, to me, it's less about the money off the purchase price, but that is important. That is important. For me, it's more about usability. So the incentives for owning an EV are things like, if I could get free parking in car parks, use of bus and taxi lanes, priority in certain places, using it every day over the years that I own the EV is more important to me than the actual purchase price. But saying that, of course, purchase price is still incredibly important. So for me, it's about perks. But what is it for you? What incentives make the most difference to you buying an EV? I'd love to know, especially as there's more and more congestion zones going in big cities around the world. A big perk for me is to be able to drive anywhere in an EV and not have to pay £10 or £15, maybe driving through road tolls for free. All of those things matter a lot to me. But let me know yours. Email. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. I can't wait to hear from you. As always, hey, it's Sunday. A mention for everyone who supports. You haven't got to look at Patreon, but if you do, it means that I haven't got to run adverts on the show. I'm not writing clickbait titles. You know, certainly...
I couldn't hear what you said.
Sometimes my watch just goes off. And yes, I do have my Apple Watch set to Australian voice, because it makes me smile. Thank you very much to my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and his excellent EV Review Island YouTube channel. Check out his ID4 review. Richard at rscv.co.uk and, of course, eMobilityNorway.com. Hi to our partners, David and Lisa Allen, Gareth Hamer, also Bob Boothby from Millbrook Cottages, the 5-star gold self-catering cottages. Hi to Darren McCleskey from De Novo Real Estate, Yuka Kukunen, Rajiv Narayan, and of course, Ian Sear. And a mention for our exec producers, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Nancaro and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Bjard Fuchstack, Bundabus Jones, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Bath, Colin Hennessy and Cam ZV, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Moore, David Partington, David Prescott, DC EV, Don McAllister at Screencasts Online, Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Eruk, Yuni Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Eric Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, James Storr, Jack O'Connor, Javier Carmelo Diaz Perez, sorry Javier, Jim Morris, Jim, John Schroeder, John who is Beardy McBeardface at Kent EVs, John Manchet, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Merson, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Marty Young, Mia Oppelstrop, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts at Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Rene Kimmick, Rene Schneider, Rob from the RS Thinks EV YouTube channel, check it out, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. T.S. Todd Oakes, and The Plug Seeker and his EV YouTube channel. Have a good and see you next week. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.